I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There was heckling like I've never really heard at a State of the Union address. Let's play some of that.
Instead of making the wealthy pay their fair share, some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's a majority. Let me give you, anybody who doubts it, contact my office. I'll give you a copy.
What did you think of the heckling?
I think that they were protesting too much. They knew that they have been identified as putting Medicare and Social Security on the table. This was sort of showbiz.
Mm-hmm. It didn't bother you, though, the lack of decorum.
No. Well, actually, they were, for them, fairly well behaved from what we see every day of the week in the House of Representatives, unfortunately.
Really? Really, you go there, Nancy? Feb 8, 2023. Jake Tapper of CNNNN with Nancy Pelosi having a good old time talking about all the heckling and how bad it was that the Republicans were pushing back against lies and remarks that Biden was making during the State of the Union. And she dare talk about how bad it looked and it was just showbiz? And Jake Tapper gives her that softball question and then does not follow up with say, well, how is that yelling compared to your action behind Donald Trump when you tore up his speech? Standing behind him. How does that compare? No, he did not ask that question. Because it's all friendly. We're here for a friendly interview with Nancy Pelosi. She just simply wants to say, well, these Republicans, that's normal behavior for them. We do not forget you standing behind Trump after his first State of the Union, ripping the speech apart. We also don't forget where Biden was as a senator, where he is now. Now, he made a remark last night that also got some pushback regarding the current situation with our nation and drug deaths.
Fentanyl is killing more than 70,000 Americans a year. You got it.
Yeah, they're hollering back, it's your fault. Do you not understand? Fentanyl is coming from China into Mexico, then being sent by the cartel across our open border because you allow it to be, and to spread across our nation. And every 8.5 minutes an American dies of fentanyl overdose. Biden is soft on crime right now. He wants you to think he's not. He's come a long ways from where he was as a senator because Biden would tell you, hey, I was responsible for law and order when no one else really was. That was Biden in 1993.
I like the idea they keep in jail longer. I'm the guy that wrote the bill requiring federal judges to keep people in jail 100% of the time for which they're sentenced. It doesn't matter whether or not they're the victims of society. The end result is they're about to knock my mother on the head with a lead pipe, shoot my sister, beat up my wife, take on my sons. So I don't want to ask, what made them do this? They must be taken off the street. Increase the penalties. Increase them.
I would put the son of a gun in jail.
Put them to death.
They are in jail. Away from my mother, your husband, our families.
The Biden-Thurman Violent Crime Control Act of 1991 would have increased the maximum sentence for 44 crimes to include the death penalty.
A wag in the newspaper recently wrote, Biden has made it a death penalty offense for everything but jaywalking. I'm going to make it for 46 crimes. Biden says make it for 51. We're going to get tough.
Yeah, see how tough he was on crime when he was a senator? And so was Bill Clinton as president. But of course, now they're all woke. The far left has grabbed them by the throat. And remember when Biden also was fighting against integrating schools and busing students? This report from ABC News when he was in the running to become president.
Now to the race for 2020 this morning and new backlash against former Vice President Joe Biden. He's refusing to apologize as he faces growing criticism over comments he made about being able to work with others in Washington. But his examples were segregationist senators 40 years ago.
Apologize for what?
Refusing to apologize for touting his ability to find common ground with senators he disagreed with, even segregationists. Biden is facing sharp criticism. At a fundraiser Tuesday, Biden describing Senator Herman Talmadge of Georgia as one of the meanest guys I ever knew, but adding, well, guess what? At least there was some civility. We got things done. And recalling Senator James Eastland of Mississippi, Biden said he never called me boy. He always called me son. Biden's 2020 rival, Senator Cory Booker, demanding an apology.
That somebody running for president of the United States, somebody running to be the leader of our party, should know that using the word boy in the way he did can cause hurt and pain. Vice President Biden shouldn't need this lesson.
Shouldn't need this lesson. And remember the other senator who was running against Biden at the time, Kamala Harris, also basically calling him a racist because he praised senators who were segregationist. And who was sitting behind him last night as his VP? Yes, the one and same, Senator Harris, now VP Harris. They bend so easily to achieve whatever they have intended to grab. Biden, Harris, all the rest of them. And the woke crowd will demonize them if they do not fall in line. Coming up in this hour, Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, retired now with the Heritage Foundation, on an Air Force commander prediction, we will be at war with China by 2025. Plus, Wood has his view of the China balloon crossing our nation. And we have Donald Trump's response to Biden's State of the Union address last night. Now, I know it's not the official response. You also hear that. The official response by the Republicans delivered by Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. We have a lot coming up for the rest of this program. Let your family and friends know we're on the air right now. You don't want to miss a single minute of it. Lock and load. Ready on the right. Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, it's starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring you up. Billy picks a tune out, and he blows it on the hum. Down on the corner, out in the street.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My guest is retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood. Semper Fi, sir. Glad to have you back on board with us.
Hoorah. It's always a blessing to do this. Thanks for having me on. Yeah.
You
recovered from the State of the Union last night, eh?
Yeah, I did. And actually, I'll be honest with you. I was playing poker with a bunch of guys, and we had the TV on, and a lot of the comments that they were making, I really cannot repeat here on the air. But I was talking to them about you coming into town. I'll be allowing everyone, telling everyone more about that. We'll discuss it a little bit later. But before we get to that point, I saw there was a report from the U.S. Air Force commander saying that the U.S. is going to be at war with China in 2025. Can you break that story down for us?
Yeah, it's always a guessing game. You know, you're reading who's doing what the conditions are. This particular General Minahan is commander of U.S. Air Force's air combat, or let's see, what is it, Air Mobility Command out there in Illinois. And all the big cargo aircraft and refuelers and those sorts of things. We spent a lot of time in the Pacific. And he's saying, look, you know, China is the big pacing threat to the United States. They've made dramatic increases in the size and the modernity of their military forces. Admiral Phil Davidson, former PACOM commander, had stipulated or said that we might be at war with China by 2027. It's called the Davidson Window. Others who said maybe into the 2030s. But Minahan's view is Xi has just been reelected to a very long term as the supreme, you know, ruler there in China. He's consolidated power. The U.S. will be going through what will likely be a tumultuous election cycle for president in 2024. An incoming administration is always trying to get its, you know, feet under it, its act together, all that stuff. So he says, you know, all these things taken into account, 2025 seems to be, you know, a pretty ripe moment. You know, we're giving a lot of stuff to Ukraine. Our defense capabilities aren't what they were in the past, and that's what we have talked about before with our index here from the Heritage Foundation. China's on the rise at the moment, although they've got demographic problems. You know, too many men, not enough women. Getting older before it gets richer. You know, as you go on down the road there. And people or countries like Japan are starting to muscle up, you know, seeing this potential threat from China. So Minahan said, boys and girls, 2025 might be a pivotal moment, and we could find ourselves in conflict with China over Taiwan or something else. So I'm not predicting it, but I want you to get your act together. You know, let's focus on readiness, competence, seriousness in our profession. And that generated a lot of blowback from senior levels in the Pentagon or from the administration, who don't like that kind of message.
Sir, with all due respect, sir, you outrank me, but they do not allow, they're not interested in an honest assessment.
No, they aren't, because if you admit that something's a problem, you're obligated to deal with that problem. So if you don't want to have to go through the actions of dealing with it, you redefine the problem so it's no longer a problem, right? You know, China's a rising economic power, trying to find its place in the world. We're going to deal with China diplomatically and with, you know, economic trade relations and those sorts of things. So let's not stir the pot and talk about military affairs, because it could cause a real problem.
But we have those problems. We have those problems, sir. We have.
Well, yeah.
We have our while, and I'm going to come to the balloon here in just a moment, because that's a big question for me. Is why the hell were we not seeing it before it got into U.S. territory, coming across the Pacific Ocean, where all of our scanners in CRT classes are dealing with pronoun adjustments?
Right. Well, you know, my point on China was it's the same Biden approach toward Russia, right, that told Vladimir Putin perfectly fine to invade Ukraine. Yeah. And we see what mess that was. Or the obsession that the administration has had to go back into nuclear negotiations with Iran, you know, resurrecting the nuclear deal, or how it's dealt with North Korea. So it just failed policies across the board. And Minahan is pointing out the flaw in those policy approaches. So now we get to balloon gate, or the hullabaloon, or whatever you want to call it.
I like that one.
I love these things, right?
Let me ask you real quick, because I'm looking at a piece written by CNN, of course, on their takeaway from the State of the Union last night, and they say, in an analysis, Biden calls out Beijing. Where did he call out Beijing and say, you know, that we're going to take care of you. And what did he say about the balloon? A little hot air?
Nothing.
Nothing.
He had one sentence that said about modernizing our defense capabilities. That's the only thing he said about the military. And then his nod to the balloon thing was, and if those dirty rascals over in China dare to violate our sovereignty, we'll do something about it, which is what we did.
Yeah.
And, of course, he was implying shooting down the balloon
after
it had floated so serenely across the entirety of the United States, picking up all kinds of emissions and snapping pictures at ICBM sites, Whitman Air Force Base, where the B-2s are stored, the stealth bombers, and all these other sorts of things. And we picked it up. The U.S. did when it was over the islands, coming out of Alaska, the Aleutian island chain there.
So we did know
didn't do anything about it.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
We did know it then.
All right. That's what I want to break down, because we got conflicting information that it was suddenly in Montana. We didn't just suddenly get in Montana. It had to go over to Washington State to get there, or it came from Canada, which they did report an incident, and then into Alaska. And, of course, Russia is only 55 miles from Alaska, but I guarantee you they did not put that balloon over Russian territory. It would have been shot down. So depending on where you want to put it into the USA, if it went direct to Alaska, you're talking about 4,400 miles before it ever got to Alaska. We didn't see and notify then and recognize, what is this thing? It's slow moving. It's not a supersonic speed, but what is it? It came out of China, and we didn't take all that opportunity of 4,400 miles of Pacific Ocean before it got to the Alaskan islands. And we did nothing.
So the technical details are kind of nerdy, right? But they're important because they provide context. The balloon is not a giant metal airplane. So the fabric that's used to contain the helium just doesn't give a good radar return, right? It's very hard to discern on a radar scope, and you have to be looking for it. Balloon across the Pacific, little tiny thing, it's at 60,000 feet or more. That is more than twice the height of Mount Everest. Commercial airplanes fly about 35,000 feet on average. There aren't even many military aircraft that can get up to 60,000 feet, which is why they use the F-22 Raptor to shoot it down, and we can talk about that more a bit later on if you're interested. But it's got a 2,000 pound package under it. But again, giant sky, small box, relatively speaking.
Oh, so you're telling me that there is a legitimate reason we might not have seen it until it actually got
over the Pacific.
All right, until
that's
it got.
Right.
But once it gets within our space, our territory around Alaska, would it not be identifiable at that point for NORAD?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
And we've got ballistic missile defense capabilities up there, Air Force bases, lots of radars and all that stuff. So that's when you start picking it up. It's the same temperature as the background, so there's not a heat differential. It's moving the same speed as your air currents up there, so there's not a speed differential. It's just really hard to see it until it gets right in close. But we did see it in Alaska. The commander that's in charge of the North American command here in the U.S. that would have dealt with that thing is dual-hatted as the NORAD commander, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, which includes Canada. So he could have talked with Canadian colleagues to have shot this thing down as it passed into Canada, where nobody lives,
right?
no threat of damage. Once it gets into the U.S., okay, now it's a calculus. Do you want it falling? If you shoot it down onto a schoolhouse or a shopping mall or something like that, there's some risk involved.
Well, the debris field.
But on the other hand,
the debris field ended up being about 7 miles, so I could see at that point.
Right.
But you missed the opportunity. And
reference,
you were talking about what they're getting. We have low flying satellites. We do, and they do too.
Yeah.
The balloon supposedly is going to get something different. But before I get to what it might have, before we run out of time, explain to me, please, sir, when they say that they were jamming it so it could not transmit information to China, were we really jamming it, or were we just being told that story, and how much had been transmitted before we did it as it crossed our country?
I think we are rightfully skeptical of anything that the government says, number one.
Right.
But we do have the technical means to jam it or to dazzle it. So if it has a camera of some type, you can shoot a laser up there, and it'll mess with the optics. It's like snowy TV set sort of thing. You can do the same thing with jamming radio signals or any kind of collector that might have to get radio or electromagnetic emanations from that. So we have the technical means to do that. Was that actually done? the government will never say, right?
Let me ask this question.
Did we want to watch it? Yeah, to see what China was doing. There's maybe some intel collection on that point. But the public spectacle of watching this big silvery balloon cross the United States, public relations coup for China makes the U.S. look weak, ineffective, and incompetent. And you got to wonder what Moscow and Tehran and Pyongyang are thinking, looking at this impunity with which China acts against the United States.
You're listening to Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood with the Heritage Foundation. A couple of quick questions here. To our knowledge, it didn't release anything. And I say to our knowledge, it was such a fine mist of something. We would not know until weeks, months later, and it went right across the middle of the country. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist sense, but we don't know other than supposedly just taking pictures and recording different pieces of information. And if it didn't this time, something like that could have been going on, and we still were not doing anything about it, and we find out way too late.
So a couple issues. I think they're legitimate questions. You know, could have been a biological hazard of some type. Viruses and bacteria are very vulnerable outside of their ideal growing environments. So if you spread something on a sidewalk, temperature differences, rain, sunlight, you know, solar radiation will often kill those things. They have to be in an ideal environment like the human body at certain temperatures to be able to operate. So probably not a biological hazard because of those factors. Another concern was a nuclear package of some type. You know, could you carry a nuclear weapon at that altitude where if it detonated, the electromagnetic pulse, you know, the radiation and electrical energy could blacken half of the country, you know? So that is technically possible. And we have had EMP commissioned by Congress for several years now that have talked about this hazard. Nothing is ever done about it, right? Because it would cost money. And you would have to admit that there's a problem. So our government is being completely irresponsible in carrying out actions that would actually protect those from those kinds of threats. So these potential hazards are absolutely accurate.
And I've got so many questions. I know many in the audience do. And I remind everyone that Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, along with former Senator
Jim Talent.
I'm sorry, Senator, will be appearing on behalf of News Talk STL here March 14th at View 17, and tickets are available now. We look forward to seeing you, sir.
Great. It's going to be a great time. Thanks so much.
Semper Fi. Ackerman Toyota wishing you a great 2023, but Jay Ackerman knows that times are tough for some. So Jay has a mission to help charities that truly make a difference. Food banks, veterans groups, charities battling cancer, head injuries. Jay wants to give back to the community. So I personally ask you to consider his mission when you're shopping for a car. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. John Beal is a roofing company trusted all over the Midwest, but also has a national reputation. John Beal is an Owens Corning Platinum contractor. Less than 1% of roofing contractors in the nation meet that professional standard. Now, that's pretty amazing. But John Beal also guarantees you the lowest price. John Beal Personal Service, always going above and beyond. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I've been holding out so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Okay, so to be honest with you, I did not actually sit and watch the Biden State of the Union speech. I mean, I was watching and listening because the sound was up, but I was really playing poker, smoking cigars, drinking a little whiskey with some friends, and some of the things they had to say about Biden, I cannot repeat here for you. But I do want to share this from The Federalist, a piece by David Harsanyi. And he said, like Nero bragging about rebuilding Circus Maximus after burning it down, Joe Biden took to the podium to take credit for solving a slew of problems he helped create. In fact, at the top of the State of the Union address, the president boasted he had, quote, created more jobs in 2 years than any president created in 4 years. The author at The Federalist says no president, not Joe Biden nor Donald Trump, creates jobs. He also pointed out Biden claiming that COVID-19 had shut down the economy. And again, no. States did. Politicians did. And Biden was one of the aggressive proponents. Shut things down until I say you can, or Dr. Fake will say you can go back to work. He also pointed out that our unemployment rate is at a historic low of 3.4%. 3 years ago, it was 3.5%. So it's all better by 0.1%. But that, again, is not his making. Biden also boasted that Americans were seeing near historic unemployment lows for Black and Hispanic workers. All of these lows were achieved before the COVID lockdowns. So if Biden is going to deserve credit for any of these I just mentioned, doesn't Trump? That's the question being raised in this Federalist article. They go ahead and also point out that Washington wasted trillions of dollars propping up an economy that it had previously shut down. Now, I'll add this aside from the article. Joe Biden was basically grading himself on a curve of his own ability and basically what he did or tried to do. It wasn't against the Trump administration's numbers. It was what he did. Because as soon as he shut down the Keystone Pipeline, putting a lot of people out of work, and saying we're going to get rid of fossil fuels, putting more people out of work, and saying you're going to have to buy electric cars, which you can't afford, but we're going to give you a tax credit, but you can't even afford the car. You tell me, where in there is there anything that sounds realistic? Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri pointed out it was like listening to a guy who was out of touch with reality. Yeah, I agree. The Federalist article points out that Biden lied that 25% of the national federal debt was incurred by the previous administration, when in fact most of the debt was driven by entitlement programs passed, expanded, revered by Democrats. That is also very true. And of course, Biden went into those well-known and well-worn platitudes and myths, the rich don't pay taxes, adding no billionaire should be paying a lower tax rate than a school teacher or a firefighter. So what do? They talk about higher rates on the wealthy and corporations, but they really don't want to go after the real wealthy because they're the ones who fund the Democrat campaigns in many cases. So in the summary of the Federalist article, the author writes, there were numerous lies, half-truths, and deceptions. There was a slew of antiquated economic ideas and sloganeering. But surely the president's biggest lie of the night was to claim, I'm a capitalist. It's not just a lie. It's funny. And then it's not so funny. Everything they do is against capitalism. That's their intent, and they will continue. They will continue until everyone falls in line and accepts that we all must live a Marxist way of life, and then we're just one step from communism. That's one take on President Biden's State of the Union address last night. Former President Trump also came forward with his own view of the State of the Union address.
Here's the real State of the Union. Over the past 2 years under Biden, millions and millions of illegal aliens from 160 different countries have stormed across our southern border. Drug cartels are now raking in billions of dollars from smuggling poison to kill our people and to kill our children. Savage killers, rapists, and violent criminals are being released from jail to continue their crime wave. And under Biden, the murder rate has reached the highest in the history of our country. Biden and the radical Democrats have wasted trillions of dollars and caused the worst inflation in half a century. Real wages are down 21 months in a row. Gas prices have soared and are now going up much higher than even before. And the typical American family is paying $2,200 in increased energy and food costs each year.
That's the unmistakable voice of former President Trump and his state response to the Biden State of the Union address last night. The New York Post put it this way. In their headline, they say, Trump blasts Biden in his response to the State of the Union address. And then we had a CNN's title, Trump unleashes attacks on Biden in State of the Union response. And then in From the Hill, the title is Trump tears into Biden in pre-tape State of the Union response. We heard part of what he had to say in his, quote, rebuttal of what Biden had to say. Here's some additional remarks.
Joe Biden's weaponized Justice Department, and I'm a victim of it, is persecuting his political opponents. His administration is waging war on free speech. They're trying to indoctrinate and mutilate our children. He's leading us to the brink of World War III. And on top of all of that, he's the most corrupt president in American history, and it's not even close. But the good news is we are going to reverse every single crisis, calamity, and disaster that Joe Biden has created. I am running for president to end the destruction of our country and to complete the unfinished business of making America great again. We will make our country better than ever before, and we will always put America first. Thank you.
Now, again, that's Donald Trump's perspective of the speech last night. Obviously, as an announced candidate to be president again, he has that view and he's going to push it. And he raised some points that are valid because Biden was repeatedly last night overstepping the grounds of reality. And again, when I had said earlier, he has been grading himself on a curve. That's what was going on last night. Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, said the speech was, quote, like an alternate reality. That's probably very accurate. Biden sees things one way and how he wants them to be versus the reality of the situation. The polls continue to show that most Americans are not that happy with the way things are going. Senator Manchin, I told you yesterday, has said that I just don't see any way that we're headed the right direction with this country. Question now is, will Senator Manchin enter the race? I want you to also hear from Arkansas Governor in a moment.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, already 2023, and we're getting closer to opening Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, focusing on the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar, with a variety of fish specials. Napoli Sea, right next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Napoli 3 in St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
In the radical left's America, Washington taxes you and lights your hard-earned money on fire. But you get crushed with high gas prices, empty grocery shelves, and our children are taught to hate one another on account of their race, but not to love one another or our great country. Whether Joe Biden believes this madness or is simply too weak to resist it, his administration has been completely hijacked by the radical left. The dividing line in America is no longer between right or left. The choice is between normal or crazy.
Crazy. Excellent description. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. That was the official Republican response to Biden's State of the Union address. She did not, it should be pointed out, I think Brit Hume of ABC News pointed out, or Fox News pointed out, that she never mentioned Trump at any point in her speech, even though she served as press secretary and so forth for a period of time. That was not an oversight. There had to be a reason behind it. There are many Republicans who do not want to see Trump run again because they want to make sure they win. And others say he could win only if he teams up with DeSantis. We still have a lot of time for this to play out, but we'll continue to watch it for you. The latest Gallup poll released just today shows half of Americans say they are worse off financially than they were a year ago. This is a new poll just released today. Where do you stand? Better or worse? As always, remember our pledge, one nation under God.